In the name of one God, Holy Trinity, Amen. I sent a text to my friend Phil early this week. Phil is a priest in Ohio. He moved from his church in Orange County to his parish in Ohio about the same time my family and I moved here to Jackson just last summer. We've been friends for about 15 years, and we have more or less spoken every Sunday morning before church for the last 10. And I sent him a text on Tuesday afternoon, which read, "Who doesn't preach on the gospel lesson on Easter Sunday morning?" Phil texted me back almost immediately, "You don't." He knows me. Phil and I both share a love for and a deep commitment to the biblical text. And by that, I mean that we want the story to really sink into our lives, to sink into an extent that the story and the wisdom it holds might influence decisions, shape trajectories, cause us to risk both success and failure, to, as Eugene Peterson puts it, love clumsily rather than continuing to do only what we do best. And I appreciate that about Phil. I value our friendship. I'm grateful for our collegiality. Phil is like a younger brother to me. As close as we are, and as much as he and I have in common, he is not outdoorsy at all. Not in the least. I don't think I could ever coax him into sleeping on the ground or in a tent. I definitely couldn't talk him up a Teton. He's more than not outdoorsy, he's anti-outdoorsy, which makes our close relationship even more curious, because I would have considered myself to be seriously outdoorsy before I moved here. Now I'm just moderately outdoorsy, working my way towards seriously outdoorsy. But I suppose it's that most important thing that binds Phil and me together: God, our shared faith, a sense of belovedness, a sense that the biblical narrative, the story of God's involvement with us, penetrates the idea that we are beloved of God, and that each person, no matter the circumstances of his or her life, each person deserves to know that, to know that he or she is loved by God too. You see, the biblical story is so much more than something just to be believed. Some people act that way about the Bible, right? Especially on Easter, that this story that we have, this story of God's involvement with God's people over the course of time, the story of God's people's involvement with one another, the story of a few successes and a multitude of failures, to think that there remain some who would contend that this story is simply a story to be believed, that is not what Easter is about. The story has to be lived. It has to penetrate, to sink in to our hearts, into our guts, into our bones. That's why I'm not preaching on the gospel Easter Sunday morning. I intend to preach the gospel, but I don't intend to tell you a story that you've already heard a million times so that you might believe it this time. Y'all know the story, and you believe it or you don't, or you believe certain parts and not others, but I don't believe that it's my job as a priest or a preacher or a follower of Jesus. I don't believe it's my job to make certain that you believe it. We, as a church, have greater expectations than that. And as an aside, if you're just curious, I believe it. All of it. Lock, stock, and barrel. I believe he was dead, and then alive again. I do, but I wouldn't limit the story or limit God by just believing it. I want to live it. We want to have that deep sense that we do die again and again and again in so many little ways, and then once in a bigger way, at least from this side. We want to have an even deeper sense that we are reborn, brought back, raised from those many deaths, raised to new life with a deeper conviction and a stronger, softer heart, with fresh eyes, eyes for the kingdom, which Jesus says is now, or is at hand, or is all around us. We know it's just so much bigger. It's so much bigger than did he or didn't he? Of course he did. And we do too. Died and been raised to new life. Paul writes a letter to this church in Colossae, and he writes it from a prison cell, which is kind of awesome. And he says to these people from his prison cell, these friends, he says, "Set your mind on things that are above." Frankly, it's easy to read and study the story and to grow to believe it. Easy peasy. There's always another book, another essay, another article to read, or even another sermon to listen to, but it's hard to live it, to really live it, to set our minds on things that are above, while the things that are here at eye level alongside us demand our attention and our care, and sometimes are just plain distracting. So we set our minds on things that are above so that God's love sinks in and our hearts soften and our spirits become willing, more willing to be the extension of God's ongoing creativity and love in the world around us. The work that we have as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as the sons and daughters of God, as an Easter people, is co-creative. We aren't it, the work, but we sure are a large part of it. We're partners in the work, sharing that love, helping it to penetrate heart and gut and bones and lives. Now, here's what I've come to know over the course of the last 9 months. You, St. John's, you already know this. I am this morning, to a great degree, preaching to the choir. We are an amazing church, not to the exclusion of others, but we are an amazing church. We are the risen Christ, strong partner in Jackson Hole and beyond. We have done and are doing and will keep doing the partnering work that God is nudging us toward and loving us toward, not because we believe, but because it's a part of who we are. It's in our hearts and in our guts and in our bones. It's a part of our very identity that is inescapable. You are veteran lovers of this community. You're well practiced and well versed in the work of spreading love around our valley, whether it's our foremothers and fathers building a chapel a little further north because, well, we needed one. Or founding a hospital because, well, we needed that too. Or it's y'all rubbing a wooden nickel in your pocket and digging deep to spread some kindness where kindness needs to be spread. As veterans of this love work, we all know the needs are inexhaustible. Once we cover something in loving kindness, another area of need is certain to pop up and make itself known. The mission never ends. The mission continues. And so we set our minds on things that are above so that God's love sinks in and our hearts become softer and our spirits more willing to be the extension of God's ongoing creativity and love in this beautiful valley we live in and beyond. So here we go again. As an Easter people, to those areas in need of loving kindness, the risen Christ meets us there. Amen.